We have, on occasion here, tried to work on the distinctives of a Baptist church, and we are continuing to do that. Philippians chapter 1. And as we do this, we want to do this for a number of reasons, but one is we want to point out what the Bible says, and that the a church is to base its government on the Bible, not on tradition, not on a denomination. And so we want to look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? We also want to take time to answer some questions about certain beliefs out there that are not according to the Bible, that are practiced today, and to show some comparison with other denominations, why those denominations are whatever they are, and why they are not Baptist, and why they are not biblical. And, of course, today it doesn't really seem to matter to most people if your church is biblical or not. It's just if they like it, that's all that counts. But in Philippians chapter 1, we have a simple verse that deals with an important part of church government, and that is how many offices are there in a New Testament church. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And here we have a simple phrase in the Bible telling us and putting in the one verse the offices of the New Testament church, and that the church, the New Testament church, has the office of bishops and has the office of deacons. All right? Now, we'll just kind of introduce that as important truth. Notice these are offices of the New Testament church. These are not offices of a denomination. Yes, the Methodists have bishops, but they are not offices of a local church. They're the office of the denomination. The Catholic Church has bishops and cardinals. I don't, might even have Blue Jays, but they have bishops. They are not officers of a local New Testament church. They are officers of the denomination. And yet the Bible tells us that the bishop is the office of or in the local church. Now, we'll answer a few questions here. Turn to Acts chapter 20. And actually, this may be a little bit, hopefully it isn't just factual, but actually these are things that you ought to know. These are things that you ought to believe. These are things that you ought to stand upon. If you are a New Testament Christian and you're concerned about what does the Bible say. Acts chapter 20, and we'll introduce this at verse 17. And we're going to look at this verse, and we see that Paul was at on his way to Jerusalem, and the elders of the church at Ephesus wanted to see him. In verse 17, we find that, and from Miletus he sent Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, and then he gives us this speech, as Paul, correcting myself, called for the elders to come to him. And now, as he's talking to these elders, we want to look at verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, This is a significant verse because we find that in this verse that God is using three words that are used of three different words that are used of church officers, or three words that are used of the same person and of the same office. Notice she's talking to the elders, okay? Now, just so you know this, the word elder is the word presbyteros. That's the word that the Presbyterians have their denomination based on. The word bishop in the Bible is the word episkopos. That's the word that the Episcopal denomination has their church government based on, okay, as well as others. And then there is the word that is implied here, the word shepherd or pastor, all right? And yet he's talking to the elders, and he says to the elders, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. Who takes care of flocks? Shepherds. Okay? Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The word overseer is the word episkopos, which is translated bishop in 1 Timothy. And it says he's supposed to feed the church of God. This is the job of a pastor, feeding the flock. And then it's that great verse, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And is a good verse that emphasizes that the word church in the Bible is referring to the New Testament local church. It says the church which he purchased with his own blood. And that's the church that they're supposed to feed. And that's the church they're supposed to oversee. It's not talking about a universal church, but it's used, it is a phrase that would could be people interpreted as, oh, the church which he has purchased with his own blood. No, he's talking about the New Testament church. It talks about God's view of the New Testament church. Now, notice, talking to elders, he's speaking of them as shepherds. He's speaking of them as overseers. He is using all three of these words to refer to one group of people. And they're all involved in the ministry of a New Testament church. They're not in denominationalism. They're not denominational headquarters. They're not an office outside of a church. Okay, that's what you have to understand. These are not outside of a New Testament church. They are only in a local assembly. Now, if you turn to 1 Peter, we see that these three people, or three officers, or three job descriptions as well, refer to one office in the New Testament church. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, chapter 5 and verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, the elders. Now, that's the word presbyteros, elders. What is the emphasis of the word elder? The emphasis of the word elder is the emphasis of elder. In other words, older. In other words, mature. Okay? And it emphasizes the dignity of the office. It talks about the elders who have ruled well ought to receive double honor. So it speaks of the dignity, maturity required of the office. But it says in verse 2, now these elders are supposed to what? Feed the flock of God. Okay, feed the flock of God. Now it's again referring to the office of a pastor. The elders are the pastors. They're feeding the flock of God. And then it says, and taking the oversight thereof. There's the word episkopos. There's the word bishop. All right? And so we find all three words refer to the same persons. Bishop, presbyteros or elder, pastor. Are all talking about one office, but three different roles of that office. Okay? So, the role, presbyteros, elder, maturity, and we have in the Bible the bishop has spiritual qualifications. All right? Secondly, the word bishop. It speaks of the word to oversee. Okay? This is a word that speaks of the pastor's job before the Lord. He is supposed to oversee the work for God. And in that case, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about, and we'll, you can keep your thumb there for a minute, finger there. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thought I could find. Oh, and that's why I couldn't find it, because I was in 4. Okay? Let's see here. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. All right? And so, here is the, again, the idea of the pastor. He is the overseer, and he oversees for God. He has a responsibility for God. And so the word over you is, again, the idea of preside or the word president. Okay? This speaks of the spiritual responsibility of the pastor. Okay, and we could go on in that one a little bit more, but go back to 1 Peter 5. It says, verse 5, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All right, and so here we have again this whole idea of elder, bishop, pastor, all referring to the same office. Okay, now, let's put this into some practical application. Okay, ever heard of Baptist churches with a board of elders? Yeah, there are Baptist churches with a board of elders. Now, that would be maybe possible under at least this one condition. Elders in the Bible are the same as pastors. And in order to be a pastor, they have to have a call from God to be a full-time worker. And typically, if they are called to preach, they are typically remunerated for their ministry. So a church that has a board of elders And these men are not pastors in the church. They are not remunerated as pastors, but they are functioning as laymen. That's not biblical. It's not a biblical government in the church. Now, typically what happens is that churches do things. They have a board of elders out of lay people, and these are the spiritual ones. And then they have a board of deacons, and these are the ones who know how to do things but aren't as spiritual. They don't meet the qualifications that they really ought to. Now, churches do lots of things. And yet, the rule book is the Bible. That's it. Okay? That's the rule book is the Bible. So a Baptist church that is born of elders that aren't called to the ministry, they are not really, they're mixing Presbyterianism and Baptist together. And when you mix the two, you don't have real Baptist church. Okay? Now, the Plymouth Brethren? John MacArthur is Plymouth Brethren. And the Plymouth Brethren have multiplicity of elders. I always thought he was Baptist Presbyterian, but he claims to be Plymouth Brethren. Okay. So, let's say they have 10 pastors. Okay? And according to the Plymouth Brethren, all the pastors are equal. All the pastors are equal. So you don't have a pastor, and then you have assistant pastors under him. You have many pastors. Okay? Now, is there anything in the Bible? Now, we know that, our church has 3 pastors. So that isn't wrong to have more than one pastor. But who's the pastor? Who's the pastor? What is the inference? Okay. According to the Plymouth Brethren, they're all equal. Now, that's a joke. In many cases, I remember one time, I won't say who it was, but they went to visit this church of a famous church that has a plurality of elders. And they went to visit, and they had all these pastors, and they all have this little office. And the one pastor that isn't the head, because they're all equal, but his name is John, he had a huge office. Now, but they're all equal. Not so. You know, the Bible compares the church to a body. How many heads can you have? I mean, if you had 5 brains all signifying the body to do something different, you'd be in big trouble. Where in the Bible does the Bible speak of the church, the New Testament church, with the figure of a body? Everybody should know that. 1 Corinthians 12, okay? Now, in 1 Peter, it uses an important word. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. What's the inference? Under shepherds. Who are under shepherds? The pastors of the church. Okay? That's the under shepherd. Okay? Now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. And we have the letters to the seven churches. And in the letter to the seven churches, we have seven golden candlesticks that represent the churches. And in the hand, right hand of the Lord, we had seven stars. Verse 20 of chapter 1 says, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, the word angel is the word messenger. It's the word messenger in the Old Testament. It's the word messenger in the New Testament. But there are some specially created non-human messengers. We call them angels. Okay? They're not flesh and blood. They were created for a special role. And they especially are the servants of the Lord and have a special ministry, a physical ministry, to the saints. But there are messengers that aren't angelic. Maybe that's a double play on words there. They're human. Okay? And that's who he's talking about. And each church has how many messengers? One messenger. To the messenger, to the angel of the church at Ephesus. To the messenger, the angel of the church at Smyrna. Okay? All these churches had, obviously, Ephesus had many pastors. But there was one messenger. One messenger. And so, the biblical pattern for a Baptist church is that there are two offices. There's deacons and there's pastors, but there's one pastor who is the pastor, and the other pastors are under the pastor. Okay? That's the picture in the Bible. And that's an important truth today in light of the fact that, like we mentioned, many times people get there, they just are followers of men. And if a famous person believes something, that's what they believe. But we really have to go by the Bible rather than by famous people. Okay? And so we haven't gotten real far, but we've talked about the fact that there are no New Testament offices outside of the New Testament church. There are no offices outside the New Testament church. There's no popes. There's no cardinals. There's no bishops. There are no offices outside of the New Testament church. There are no officers that are over more than one church. There are only officers of one individual, local New Testament church. All right? Now, all of a sudden, you have this big glaring problem. You get all these denominations that have all these words, and they use biblical words, but they aren't following the Bible. Got biblical words, but they aren't following the Bible. And so then people read the Bible and they say, oh, that talks about that guy. Nope, doesn't talk about that guy because that guy, his office been invented by man. It's not talking about that guy. So we have to get it straight of what the Bible is talking about. Okay, so I thought we would I'll talk about this a little bit. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The inference here is that men who are called to the ministry are trained in the Word of God. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice the couple things here. Notice the continuation of the principle of teaching. Okay? Notice the continuation. Here, Paul, he's teaching Timothy, and Timothy is teaching now these people, and these people are to be teaching these people. Notice, it says, what I taught you, you teach them, and they're supposed to teach them. Now, obviously we see a number of things here. We find a people who are trained in the Word of God. Now, you know, we live in a day in which people say, you don't need a church. Just go read your Bible on your own. You don't need a pastor. Just, you know, go pick some radio preacher. Now, we have a couple answers to that, but notice what the Bible's saying. Notice, here is this continuity of teaching, but a continuity of Paul, Timothy's disciples, and those teach, and they're all teaching the same thing. Now, there's a couple principles there. It's a principle of sacredness. It's also the principle of faithfulness. It's also the principle of authority. It's also the principle of being a learner and a follower. All right? We live in a day in which I would call it the day of new inventions. The emerging church is a bunch of young guys, and they rejected the old, and they're going to start off and do something different. It's not based on the Bible. It's based on how they want to do it and how their brain thinks and how the culture thinks. It's not based on the Bible, okay? And new evangelicalism was new evangelicalism. New evangelicalism is evangelicalism that rejected biblical evangelism and now is doing it their own way. And again, we have this, instead of continuity, we have discontinuity. All right? Instead of training, we have individuality. And instead of the old paths, we have different paths. So we have a couple principles there. Turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Now, a couple important principles here. Let's just kind of put it into context. Ordain elders. What is the word ordain? Really, the word ordain means to choose. To select. But it goes beyond that. The word ordain really has the idea is to distinguish or discern God's call and a person's appropriate life and preparation for that call. Ordain. And so an ordination council, or when a church ordains someone, they are not calling them to the ministry. They are sensing that God called them. And they are sensing that they have prepared themselves adequately, properly, in the sense of sacredness of the call. And they are living that would enable them to fulfill the call. You know, there's many people who were called into the Lord's work that can't be in the Lord's work because they violated God's law, and they did some things that would eliminate them from ever fulfilling God's law will in their life. So But I think this is an important principle. Can a person pastor who hasn't been called? Can they do it humanly? Yes. Should they do it? No. They could do it, but they shouldn't do it. It's not an office that a person can enter of their own free will. It's only an office that is allowed to be entered by the call of God. That's an important principle. You know, so the whole thing is beyond us. And you know, what was the sin of Korah? Korah said to Moses, "You've taken on too much. We're Levites just like you. We can do this just like you did it, are doing it." And what happened? Moses said, "I'm sorry. I'm doing this because God called me. And you better not think you can do it if you're not called. So let's have a test. You bring your censer to the tabernacle and we'll see who's called." And what happened? There was a great opening of the earth, wasn't there? Why? Because they entered into the office without being called. Now, this is a important principle of the ministry. Okay? You think that here's a Methodist preacher isn't saved, doesn't believe the Bible. Think he was called into the ministry? Who said that? Thomas. Thomas says he thinks the devil called him. Well, God didn't call him. How did he get there? It's a good job. Good job. Maybe. I wouldn't want that job if I didn't believe the Bible. I wouldn't want that job if I couldn't get my messages from the Bible. I had to get them from the Reader's Digest. Boy, that'd be pretty tough. Okay, well, we're running out of time. So what did we learn tonight? Well, hopefully we learned that there are no officers outside the New Testament church. Hopefully we learned there's no basis of denominations in the Bible. Hopefully we learned that the Bible does not speak of plurality of elders in running a church. Hopefully, you realize that the office in call involves a call. It involves a recognition of that call and a qualification for that call. Okay. Oh, there's so much to say from the Bible. But we can't go any further than that tonight. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would help us to know what the Bible says and why a New Testament church functions the way it functions and what the biblical pattern is, and that, Lord, we are under obligation to follow the Bible, because it is your perfect plan. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be good students of the Word of God and to realize that the Bible does make a difference and what it teaches makes a difference, and that there is that which is right and there is that which is incorrect in these very important issues. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.